The following program is rated MALSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, and violence. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun. Three, two, one. What's up, Goreheads, and welcome to another episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. And I am your host, Ben, and I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, Nancy. She is to my left, which means she would be playing in your left ear.
Okay.
I don't know if it works that way.
I don't think it does.
I don't think so. It's in stereo, so we're coming in both ears. No. There's a new kink. So we have another fantastic episode for you today. Anyway, yes, we have another exciting episode for you. I don't know if it's exciting, but it's an episode anyway. But before we do that, we are going to give you our Would You Rather for this episode. So, hon, I have one for you and for the listeners, and it's very fitting for this episode or for this movie. It is as follows. Would you rather be tortured to death knowing that you're going to be killed? Doesn't necessarily matter which way you're tortured. You're just tortured. Or would you rather be the torturer and have to live with the fact that you killed somebody via torture?
As the torturer, would I have the choice to decide how I'm going to torture somebody?
Yes. Yes. You do not have a choice. You do not have a choice if you're the torturee. But you do have a choice of how you would torture if you were the torturer. Mm. But you also have to live with yourself, knowing that you tortured somebody to death.
I could not do that to another human being.
Okay.
So I would be the one being tortured.
Knowing that you're going to die.
We're all going to die. Hate to break it to you, huh?
We're all going to die, Easter eggs. Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
I guess the question is I know we can always seek for redemption towards the end. Anybody could repent from what they've done. Mm-hmm. Depending on your beliefs or whatever, but you're never going to not be able to think that you did something wrong.
Okay. That's fair enough. I mean,
and that would be torture. That's like perpetual torture.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're tortured to death,
you mean if you had killed somebody,
right?
And living with the fact that you were a torturer.
Yes. So you would live that during your life and possibly beyond.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're tortured, you're innocent.
That's true. And I guess if you know what your fate is going to be.
That's right. I mean, depending on what's happening to you, you might pray for death.
I think at some point you would.
So yeah, that's the side I would be on. All right. I couldn't do that to somebody.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to. First of all, my conscience.
Even your worst enemy, the person that you would despise the most on this planet, you wouldn't derive some pleasure out of torturing me?
Oh, we're talking about you? Well, I torture you in a different way. I mean, you're not going to die right away, but, you know.
You torture me mentally every day anyway.
No, I really don't think that I want that to be my legacy is
okay.
Torturing all right. Someone.
All right. I'm going for the torture. Put somebody in a chair in front of me and I'll deal with them.
But what about, wouldn't you feel guilty?
Maybe a little bit.
That wouldn't like gnaw away at your brain. Remember on like Dexter, how Deb was thinking about LaGuerta?
Deb was an annoying pain in the ass.
Yeah, but she could not live with the fact that she killed LaGuerta.
Hey, there might be people out there who haven't seen it yet. after how many years?
But you know what I'm saying? It's just like,
yeah, no, I
would
I get
not
that.
Want to put myself in that. I would think that physical torture would be the easy way out.
I don't know. there's a part of me that would I would enjoy just getting to release that tension and that
to somebody that doesn't deserve it.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't know them.
How do you know you don't know them?
Well, what do you mean?
That was never specified.
I wouldn't do it to somebody that I know.
Well, see, now you're changing the story.
I never said
you knew the person. Now you're changing it. You're adding a whole bunch of different stuff. You're changing it.
I never said you knew the person in the first place, did I?
I don't have to know a person. I'm not going to torture anybody.
Well, you're different than I am. So, yeah, you're entitled to your opinion, even if it's wrong. No, I just, it would just release the pressure.
I would think a good bowel movement would do that. I wouldn't think I'd have to torture somebody to release it, that kind of pressure.
Beats a boxing bag.
Why? Because they're so expensive.
Yeah. Or you could get what did Josh do? It was the cold dunk tank or whatever. Whatever it was that he was.
Oh, yeah.
A cryo freezer.
I've seen them online. They're just, they're kind of like a, you know, like those inflatable hot tubs.
Yeah. The one we keep saying we're going to get.
But. Yeah. It's like an inflatable hot tub, but it's skinnier and taller.
Okay.
And you just dunk your body just into
getting
it.
Getting cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I don't understand how that could be in any way therapeutic.
He said it reduces inflammation and stuff like that, but
how old is he? He doesn't have inflammation yet.
What did he say? He was 35?
Yeah, you know, you don't have any inflammation yet. You haven't even seen inflammation.
38?
Arthritis in your knuckles.
Or your knees. You're gonna have to start getting cortisone shots pretty soon. Fuck. Okay. So you're
we'll
a weekly.
We'll see how that's going to be working out for you in the future, Josh.
Yeah, it's going to be up on eBay soon. Okay. So, okay, that was our Would You Rather. Now, we also have a little bit of good news, I guess. I don't know how good news it is, but we have another review. And this one kind of refutes the one that we had from a couple weeks ago or a few weeks ago. And here's the review as it's
written. Wait, you want to give some backstory?
Three or four weeks ago, we got a review.
That told us.
Right. We got a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts that said, it's a good show until the woman goes off on a tangent and completely interrupts the guy. And then they get sidetracked and they talk, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Andrew Dice Clay gives us a review.
One star.
We're supposed to be all... butthurt about it.
But then we got
the woman.
Yeah, the woman.
Tell you what, obviously, I don't let my woman do nothing.
Obviously a new listener to the show because they didn't realize that the woman was my wife and not the woman.
I am the woman.
Well, you're the woman.
I am the woman.
But
I'm not the woman.
That's okay. All right. So we did get another review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. But this one refutes, and basically they're throwing down the gauntlet, whoever this is. Actually, it comes from Boston Brewski. Boston Brewski.
Can I just say, that was pretty good of you to come up with something like that.
What?
The name. That's very creative.
Me? What? I didn't come up with anything.
Okay, if you didn't do it, that's fine. I believe you.
Why would I do that?
I'm not saying you
are. I don't have an iPhone. I hate Apple products.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
All right.
What? You had access to my iPhone when I had one.
When did that phone ever leave your side?
When I'm asleep. You know, I'm dead to the world. You could have done it then.
Okay. So, anyway.
I think it's very cute. All right. Yes.
The review... What the fuck? Okay, the review is as follows. It says, forget the bad, great show. 5 stars. Disregard the review that say the show is bad. There are a couple typos. What a crock. I've listened since the second beginning and absolutely love it. There is a perfect blend of laughter and review. She's funny, he's funny. Together, they are XHR. So Boston Brewski is throwing down the gauntlet to what was her name?
Ally.
Whatever. Him or her. He or she. They or what is it? Yeah, it's a Pat song. Is it a him or a her? A ma'am or a sir?
What
it's
song?
Pat from It's Pat.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
You just watched the movie.
I know the movie. I don't know the theme song.
Okay. All right. But anyway, so yeah, we got a review and it yeah, much better than Allies. Allies.
Yes.
LA, whatever. But
thank you, hon. Wink, wink.
Okay. So yeah, the movie that we watched for this week was Hostel from 2005, scores a 5.9 on IMDb.
This was produced?
This was written and directed by Eli Roth. Probably produced, I think.
Margheriti.
I think Tarantino, he was probably a producer, an executive producer on this one. Because after Cabin Fever, you know, they were all chummy chummy, buddy buddy.
Yeah.
You know, and so yeah, they like you said, I mean, Inglourious Bastards. And then here, as we have it on in the background, Pulp Fiction is on. Where are they at? Slovakia on the TV.
I love that there's no gratuitous plugs.
Yeah. Well, he kind of even spoofs his own movie because he does the porn a little bit later on.
Oh, does he?
Stabbing Fever.
Oh, you know, I was just thinking about his cameo in Cabin Fever.
Oh, his grim?
And how horrible that was.
Yeah.
That was difficult to watch.
Ooh, yeah. Faced. Well, he's in this movie, too. He's smoking pot at the hash bar.
It's very cringy. And knowing that he's...
But, I mean, Tarantino does it. Alfred Hitchcock does it.
Or did Stephen it. King.
Stephen King does it, yeah.
And I get that, but they're all talented.
Okay. You know,
Eli Roth was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
I think Eli Roth is kind of along the same lines as Rob Zombie. People either absolutely love his movies or they absolutely hate his movies. There's like really no in between.
I liked him as Antonio Margheriti.
Right, but he wasn't directing.
Right, yeah. That's the only thing I've liked him in. Because I like when he's whacking the Nazi.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Like, you want ham on that one.
He went yod. what? Fenway Park is on his feet. As the bear Jew.
Two hits. I hit you. You hit the ground.
Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, because like, yeah, he wasn't directing that. I mean, that was written by Tarantino.
No, but he was hilarious. And Tarantino is an actually good director.
Well, and that's like, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing that you say about Brad Pitt. You know, Brad Pitt's not really a good director or not a good actor.
No, he's not a good actor at all.
It seems like everything that is written for him, he's got the, you know, the snappy comments and the stupid one-liners.
Oh, they roll out the red carpet. They are tailor-making these parts for him right now. Because they know. Well,
because he's an Oscar winner. Didn't he win Best Supporting Role for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I think he did. He was just eye candy. I think we've gone through this before. He was...
You love to hate him, and you love to look at his butt in Legends of the Fall.
Once you've seen one butt, you've seen them all.
So you're saying my butt looks like Brad Pitt's butt?
That's not what I said.
Yeah. Well, if you've seen one butt, you've seen them all.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you went there. Okay. No, I'm not a butt person, first of all.
Need I remind you of the picture that you took and compared me to?
I'm not a butt person. I'm a your butt person.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you compared it to. You can make all the faces and all the schmuckers you want. All right, whatever. Let's get into this movie.
Yes, shall we?
Yeah, because you know you're guilty.
All right, hold on.
And I saved the picture. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, yeah, whatever. Okay, let's get into this
movie. Oh, yeah, the fact of the matter is, whatever, after you bring it up.
Oh, I'm not going to sit here comparing your butt to something else. Not like you did to mine.
You brought it up.
Yeah, but I'm not going to compare your
that
butt to
something. That was water
else.
Under the bridge.
Oh, I'll remember that. You remember that when I do it to you. All right. So, okay. We start off the movie, and there's a cleaning montage. Bloody bubbles, soapy bubbles, and they're all bloody and nasty. Don't really see what's getting cleaned. And then we cut to our main characters, Oli, Paxton, and Josh, and they are hanging out in a weed bar. And if you caught the very beginning of the show, you would know that Nancy, as an epidemiologist, was very upset with the fact that there could be a lot of communicable diseases passed on in the weed bar.
Especially in Amsterdam.
Yeah, in the Amazon. Or Amazon. Amsterdam. So then the three boys, they leave the weed bar. They're all nice and good and stoned. And they go to a disco. And they get in a fight because apparently Josh likes to wear a fanny pack. And let's see.
This was back when fanny packs were not cool again yet.
No. This was that weird time in between 1980s and like 2015s where they were definitely not cool. And then they made their comeback in the past few years. So, but actually people wear more around like their chest than like around their waist, I think, because it makes it not quite so.
I really don't see a whole lot of people wearing them.
They were all over the place at Cedar Point.
Well, yeah, yeah. But at Cedar Point, I mean.
Yeah. So, I mean, even I got one for Cedar Point.
Yeah. And then, well, I mean, taste pretty much, you know, shot to the wind at that point when you're at Cedar Point, because you're in a state of desperation. All you want is to be able to have things be convenient, to be able to stay hydrated, and to be able to have your hunger satiated without having to put a mortgage, second mortgage down on your house while going there.
It's truly expensive. Okay. The boys go into the disco. They get in a fight because Josh is wearing a fanny pack. They get into a fight again. Like we said, they get kicked out. They're dropping F-bombs, not the fuck bombs, but the other F-bombs. Then they decide to go visit a prostitute. And because apparently prostitution is legal in Amsterdam, Paxton and Oli. Yeah, Paxton and Oli, they do their prostituting. Not the prostituting. What would you call that? Soliciting?
Yeah.
They solicited. What's the word I'm looking for? Solicited. They solicited a prostitute. Josh opts out. They go back to the hostel, and this was the one woman that you were very unimpressed by. They go back to the hostel that they were staying at, and they're watching a couple have sex. And this woman is sitting on top of the guy.
Oh, wearing the Batgirl mask.
No. That was, you're talking about the dominatrix?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking back at the hostel. She's like riding the guy and he's just like moving like a fraction of an inch. And
yeah.
You were bitching because that's not how you do it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that there has to be more movement than that in order to get any kind of, I don't know. Maybe these guys are
special.
Super sensitive.
They're watching a couple have sex, and then Alex, who was Russian or Slovakian or something, he points the boys in the direction of Slovakia, and where he says, you know, the women go crazy for Americans. They will do anything for you. They will do anything to you. Basically, you know, they go crazy for the accent or lack thereof, I guess.
How do you feel about that? I mean, so they're in the Slavic countries.
Yeah.
Which is Lithuania, Russia, Poland, Ukraine.
Yeah.
That's our background.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with anybody just saying, even though they're not talking about Americans, but they're saying that they're a sucker for Americans. I don't think that you can put that on a certain, like, ethnicity.
No, I think
he was suckers. I mean,
I think he was simply trying to point them in the direction of Slovenia or Slovakia because he wanted them because they were Americans, and then the people who were torturing, because he was part of the whole torture ring. I mean, he was like the baiting the guys.
But you notice in this movie that they make the women who are Slavic look like complete whores. And they actually, like, recruit people for, like, you know,
to do it.
Yeah, but they are recruiting people for like it's
human trafficking.
Human trafficking.
Okay.
And they take them to a place and they're all like strung out and stuff.
Well, how does it make me feel? I mean, my ancestors were from there. I'm not.
No,
it's just.
But you say ancestors, it's really maybe only two generations away.
Okay. Well, I mean, overall, yeah. But like.
In the grand scheme of things, your heritage is more over there than it is here.
Okay. Okay. Yes. But at the same time, if I'm torturing somebody I don't know, I'm never going to see these people again. It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
Eli Roth probably got a lot of flack when this movie came out from those countries that, you know, like, oh, you're portraying us as like torturous murderers and our women as, you know, prostitutes.
And you know what? At this point now, I might say something because he's Jewish and.
Well, okay, maybe he thought he could get away with it because he's Jewish.
Well, he got his retribution in
Inglourious Bastards. Yeah, but this came out well before Inglourious Bastards.
Well, I feel like it's okay for him to insult or make fun of other cultures. When it comes to his own culture, he's like Mr. Badass.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that kind of pisses me off. Maybe that's why I subliminally hated him in Cabin Fever. Not just because he's a bad actor, which he is. But,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
And like I said, Silver Spoon. Like, didn't you say his dad is?
His dad is a doctor, I think.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. He had every privilege that he could ever get.
So they get sent in the direction of Slovakia where the girls are sluts and they'll do whatever they want for you. As they're on the train ride to Slovakia, they meet the Dutch businessman. He comes into their little train cabin. What do you call that? Is it a train cabin or sleeping quarters or whatever?
They call it a car? Don't they call it a...
Well, car's the whole thing. I don't know. But anyway, so they meet this Dutch businessman on the train. And he comes in and he's talking to the boys. Now, keep in mind, this guy's like, what, probably 50, 60 maybe? And the boys are like, you know, 21, 22, whatever.
Well, yeah, and they're also little privileged shits that are like backpacking through Europe.
And he comes in, he's eating the salad, and he's eating with his fingers, with his hands, instead of eating with a fork. And he makes the comment that he likes to be one with the food, and, you know, if he's using his hands, he can feel the food instead of just taste it.
If he's using his hands, he can feel the bacteria going from his hands to the food, to his mouth.
So he ends up putting his hand on Josh's knee, and Josh freaks out.
So he's touchy-feely, yet he's using his hands to feed himself.
Right. Well, and yeah, of course, the boys jump up, and they call him the F word, you know, and he gets up, packs up his stuff, and gets out of the little roomie in the train. The boys finally get to Slovakia. It's a beautiful countryside. And actually, obviously I've never been there, but you see pictures of it. It looks nice.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
So they get to their hostel. They realize that it's a semi-private hostel. So they go up into the room, and of course there's two half-nude girls, women, ladies, I don't know. And they talk about going to the spa. And then as the boys get unpacked, they go to the spa. There's more nudity from the guys and the girls. And they're talking about, you know, like singing songs. And
I think it's fair to say that at this point, you're kind of like just entirely and completely done with these spoiled ass kids.
And you want them to be tortured?
No, I feel like that's probably... I think that that's what they're trying to set the movie up for.
You think so?
Yeah, because I am thoroughly disgusted. You know, they're all like, I'm backpacking.
You said you wouldn't want to do it yourself? So you're ready to see somebody get tortured, but you wouldn't do it yourself?
No.
Okay. All right. So anyway, yeah, so they're backpacking.
On the rare chance I like to watch a hockey game, doesn't mean I want to play it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. So they're backpacking. You're getting irritated.
I'm just irritated because they just seem like a couple of pompous assholes, you know? Okay. And of course, at that age, they know everything.
Yeah.
And they got rich parents that are paying for their trip backpacking through Europe.
Right.
You know? And They're in Amsterdam. They're like bedding hookers. And at what point am I supposed to feel sorry for them? Because they're being tortured. At some point and at some level, you're going to think they had this coming.
Well, I think when...
I think that they wanted you to think that.
I think when this movie came out, Eli Roth actually did have to apologize to the countries.
I'm sure Eli Roth was probably one of those dipshits that had rich parents, and he probably did backpack through Europe.
Well, I know when the whole premise for Cabin Fever came about, because he was working on a farm in Iceland, I think it was, or Greenland, one of the two.
I am absolutely not surprised at all about that.
And he actually got the flesh-eating bacteria or virus.
What, according to him?
Oh, that's what he said.
Do we have any proof of that?
I'm sure there's pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I had Ebola a couple years ago. I lost a finger. It's back now, though.
Is that when you lost all that weight?
I lost the weight of a finger.
Yeah, you lost all that
weight. There is no way that Eli Roth had. No.
I don't know. I'm just going
He has waxed eyebrows.
Well, now he does.
He probably always has.
He's Hollywood.
He's a little rich shit.
Okay. Well, you know, some people got it made. But anyway, all right. So they go to the... they go to the spa. There's more nakedness. There's
more nakedness.
This is where we are introduced to the captain's tooth. On which would you like to explain what the captain's tooth is?
Was this something that we were just talking about on our own, or was this on a show?
No, this is something that you noticed about this movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that this is like...
Yeah, care to explain what the captain's
tooth is? Groundbreaking material here.
Well, we did look it up, and there was nothing online about the captain's tooth.
Well, I told you it was just an invention by me. So a captain's tooth is... It can happen on a female or a male.
Right.
They have a smile.
Everybody smiles.
They have teeth. Everybody has teeth.
Well,
for the most part.
Well, most, yeah.
I said a captain's tooth is... one of those smiles where you have just one tooth that's sticking farther out than all the other ones.
Just a little bit. just the leader.
Yeah. And once you know about the captain's tooth,
you can't unsee it.
You can't not see it.
It's there. And
that captain's tooth is paving the way.
You might say it's leading the charge.
I'm sure the other teeth to follow.
It's out there. It doesn't have to be like a fucking sloth.
No, you know, from Goonies. I mean, it is probably better viewed in like a Dirk scene where all you can see is the teeth, and then you can see the one that's just kind of like just a little out bit, on display.
Just a little jut,
like Angelina Jolie's leg at the Oscars that one year, and she had her leg jutted out from her.
I have no idea. But yeah, so yeah, we don't know if it's new, but
no, it's just something I made up purely
captain's off the top tooth. Of my head.
It's something that bugged me.
So, it just, you know. Yeah, keep in mind, you'll know it when you see it, because
when I see something like that kind of irks me, I just kind of have to.
We're not talking about a snaggle tooth.
No, there's a difference. There's a big difference.
We're not talking about like the hanging tooth. That comes out like where you got the double tooth, one on top and one on the bottom.
And we're not talking about like even maybe you have one front tooth that hangs lower than the other.
Nope.
That's not it either.
So this
we're
is
talking
a, this
about
is a jut, a push.
Right. Yeah. This is the up front and front and center tooth that takes the stage.
Like we said, it's
and all the other
the
teeth have to like stand behind. That's why it's the captain.
Right.
The other ones are private teeth.
It could be a sergeant.
Private incisor.
I would say the canines are probably like the sergeants.
Well, yeah, it's
probably
no.
The molars would be
the
privates.
I think most of the time you're going to have to say that probably one of the two front teeth are going to be the captain. One of them is going to be the captain.
Yeah, but not everybody has a captain's tooth.
No. And that's why when you see the one, it's a unicorn.
A unicorn.
It's a unicorn because, you know, to have one front tooth shine like that and just kind of like completely, you know.
You'll know it when you see it.
You'll know it when you see it. Yeah, yeah. When you see the captain's tooth.
And then you'll never be able to unsee it.
That's right. And I encourage anybody that's all our three listeners, I encourage them to send us some examples of captain's tooth that you have found.
Yeah.
Not in captivity.
Yeah.
But out and about.
It's got to be in the wild. Make sure your flash is off.
And seriously, though, I mentioned this once as a joke, and now you are every time you see a captain's tooth.
Yeah, every time. So, yeah, I know for sure, and you know for sure, and we both call it out now when we see it, the captain's tooth.
Yep.
So, yeah. You will all see it. You'll know exactly what we're talking about when you catch it, when you catch on. Okay, so they end up having sex with Natalia and Svetlana, who were the two girls that were in the room when they first came in. And after they're done having sex, Oli apparently checks out, and he sends a picture to both Paxton and Josh saying, you know, Oli, the king of swing, took off, or, you know, he checked out. He left with another girl, one of the Asian girls. And Paxton and Josh see Oli as they're walking through town, but it turns out that it's not Oli, but they chase him through this, what would you call it, like a torture museum or like a death museum?
Yeah, I was kind of confused about that. I know they have them there in Europe, but...
I think it would be kind of cool to see, though, like different methods of torture or different methods of, like,
yeah,
how people, like, in the medieval ages.
Right. Well, I would love to see something like that that's, like, tourist-led and, you know, regulated.
Yeah. But well,
in this particular case, it didn't look like it was.
It was, yeah. No tour guide. This was a self-paced tour.
And, yeah.
Who knows what could be jumping out at you.
And he's, like, running across, like, where are they at in this? Are they in Russia?
Slovakia.
And so they're running across this gang of little Slovakian kids that like steal shit for bubblegum.
The bubblegum gang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're freaky.
Yeah.
I would be like, yeah, I can find a museum somewhere else. I'm over this. I'm out.
And the kids weren't even in the museum. They were just like traversing the streets.
They're just rotten little shits.
Demanding bubblegum. Well, yeah. They do end up helping out in the end.
Do they?
Yeah, because they distract the guards long enough for Paxton to run them over.
Okay, well,
so
bless them.
Yeah, so, but, okay. Yeah, I think it's the bubblegum gang.
They're bandits. All, like, weird looking. Their clothes, I know.
I mean, it's not a first world country.
Slovakia?
Yeah.
It's not a third world country.
I would say second, maybe.
What qualifies? I don't know what the criteria is.
I don't know what qualifies you for a third world country. Third world country.
I would say, like, Ethiopia was third world.
Okay, so then they would have to be second. I've never heard the term second world country, but I'm sure there is one if there's a first and a third.
And if there's a captain's too.
It's a private country.
We're just making our own vocabulary here.
Yeah.
We should do an extreme horror replay bingo.
Yeah. XHR bingo. So they get a text from Oli that says, I go home. And then as they're looking at the picture, it's just Oli's head in the picture. And as they are looking at the picture on their phone, it cuts to Oli's head sitting on a table, decapitated, all bloody and nasty.
See, I missed that when we were just watching it, because I saw that it was him and the girl, and they were like, it was supposed to look like a tourist kind of picture.
Yeah.
And then you said something, and I turned my head away from the TV, and I didn't see
that
part.
Yeah, yeah, he just, I mean, obviously, yeah, he's dead, so.
Thank you for clarifying that.
So Josh and Pax head back to a bar with Svetlana and Natalia. Josh isn't feeling so hot. He's, I don't know, either had his drink spiked or, you know, he's been drugged or something. So he ends up going back to the hostel. And Paxton gets locked into the storeroom at the bar. And he wakes up the next morning. And now Josh is missing. Josh wakes up in this nasty, dingy room. So Josh wakes up and he's sitting in a chair in this dingy, nasty room. And he's handcuffed to the chair. He's got his ankles cuffed to the chair. And the Dutch businessman comes in and he's got this rubber apron on. He's got a mask on. And he's, you know, he's basically all decked out in like rubber, not surgical gear, but like rubber.
Butcher.
Yeah. Like a butcher. Yeah. Yeah. Apron. Like Leatherface type gear, yeah. But it's all rubber instead of leather or whatever. So he picks up a drill and it kind of cuts away and he drills Josh into the chest. The camera pulls back and you see Josh and he's got like three or four holes in his chest where the Dutch businessman.
I know this is off topic. Was he the same guy that was on Boogie Nights with Roller Girl? In the limo?
Oh, no. No. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. No, that wasn't him.
Okay.
No. They do look similar, but no, it's not him.
Okay. Just
that. So anyway, yeah. So Josh wakes up. He's got the rubber apron. Drills Josh in the chest. And then, so Josh is yelling and screaming. He says, let me go. I didn't do anything. He's apologizing. He wants to go. I'm sorry for, freaking out on you before and all this other stuff. And he's screaming, let me go, let me go, let me go. So the Dutch businessman goes back around Josh, and he actually clips Josh's Achilles tendons. And then he uncuffs him. And Josh, of course he's screaming in pain. Josh stands up to walk out of the room, and he falls forward. You see his ankle, split open where the Dutch businessman had cut his Achilles tendon, and he falls back down. And then, yeah, it's really kind of nasty. So,
not for the squeamish.
Not for the squeamish. This movie is really, it's obviously worse than Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but they don't really show a lot of.
You mean worse than in like gruesomeness?
Yeah, or like goriness.
Okay.
They really don't. Well, forget I said
think
that.
This movie is more of like a incidentally gory. Whereas, at least in Texas Chainsaw, going in, that you're going to see some shit.
But you really don't. Not in Texas Chainsaw.
You walk into a house and they've got, like lamps made of, human scalps and stuff.
Yeah, but you don't actually
see. I think that's, the first thing that's going to be your hint that you're in an odd area, an odd place, is when you have, furniture made of human flesh.
Oh, you're talking situationally.
Yes.
Okay. See, I was talking actual visual gore.
No, on the screen. I think Hostel is one of those things that's kind of I think it's meant to be like a public service announcement to young little rich shits that want to backpack through Europe.
Yeah.
That, you might be thinking you're having a good time laying some Amsterdam bitch.
Okay.
But,
Yeah. So you're not. Okay. I see
getting what the clap saying. Would be the last thing that you'd be worried about.
Situationally, Hostel is much less intimidating because you're not thinking you're going to get tortured to death.
Yes.
While if you were walking into a house in Texas where they had, scalps for lampshades and shit
right.
You know some shit's going down.
Yeah, I would. That would be a gotcha. big, hint.
Gotcha.
If I'm seeing all right. Eyelashes on the lampshades and stuff.
Nipple belts. Okay. All right. I see what you're saying. Paxton ends up tracking down Italia and she takes him to the quote unquote art show. And there he sees Josh dead and he's being dissected by the Dutch businessman. He's got his chest splayed open.
Those effects were not very good at all. You could see that it was.
Well,
no, I gotta hand it to the Asian horror movies though.
Uh huh.
They make it look very real.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Just you could just kinda tell. I mean, you could tell it was like latex and.
Well, I think to some degree this movie's almost supposed to be kind of almost B movie quality.
Do you think so?
To a degree. I mean, just in terms of the far outedness of it. You know what I mean? I could be totally off base, and I probably am. But
you might be right. I just feel like this is, being that this was a big budget movie.
Yeah. But it's supposed to have the appeal of a B movie, like the cultness of a B movie.
But you know what? Save that for the movies that don't have a big budget.
Yeah.
If you got a big budget, you know, use that money and put it into some really good effects, you know?
Well, it's probably expensive to film in Slovakia. Oh.
I doubt it.
So, but, well, I mean, you got to ship all that shit over there.
Oh, yeah. You got to look at, yeah, a plane trip.
So, yeah. So Josh is being dissected by the businessman. Paxton ends up getting grabbed, and he's strapped into a chair for another torturer. And he's got this like triple rake thing. I don't know what you would call that, like a garden rake or a flower bed rake or something. So the guy is taking this rake and he's hitting Paxton with it. And he's like digging holes into his chest. And then he ends up cutting like two or three of Paxton's fingers off with a chainsaw. He's also got his like hands tied behind his back or, you know, handcuffed.
Really? And how big of a pussy move is it to cut somebody's fingers off with a chainsaw?
The guy that's doing it seems kind of like unsure of himself anyway. And well, kind of really like,
he's kind of like a,
he looks like a very timid guy.
Like a science teacher that doesn't want to be bullied by his own students.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He, you know, he looks timid and he's kind of shy. So what he ends up doing is he cuts two or three of Paxton's fingers off with his chainsaw. And of course, Paxton starts, like, he's got this ball gag in and he starts throwing up. And what ends up happening is, the guy comes back to Paxton to like torture him some more. And he slips on Paxton's fingers, falls down. The chainsaw cuts through the guy's leg. So he cuts through his own leg. And he's laying on the ground. And somehow Paxton gets a gun from the guy and shoots him in the head.
Okay, so at what point are you thinking that being the torturer is the better side of it?
For me, myself? Well,
you see what happened to the science teacher?
Well, the Dutch businessman was successful.
Yeah.
And whoever tortured Ollie.
He slipped and he...
Yeah, well, this guy is. But like you said, he's a science teacher. Or whatever he would be considered. You know, he's obviously very timid. He's not, he's unsure of himself.
Oh, yeah. Like you'd be Mr. Confident torturing somebody.
Oh, it would be easy.
Like you'd be prancing in there with your big rubber apron.
Yeah.
Like
I wouldn't even wear the apron. I'd go in nude.
Like, are you ready for this? Then wink at them and like just go to town.
Y'all ready for this?
Then you'd slide on some guts from the body before.
They clean up between...
Oh, you'd slide on the guts, and then you'd hit your head, and you'd be all like, where the hell am I? It would be this whole big deal.
Anyway, yeah. So the guy chops off his own leg. Paxton ends up getting a gun and shooting him in the head. He's dead. This is the torturer. Paxton ends up escaping, only to end up on a body cart, I guess it would be. There's this lumbering... oaf of a lummox, or we determined that a lummox is an oaf. There's this lumbering guy pushing this giant cart with body parts.
The meathead. Which, I mean, okay, you've got a dungeon, and you've got people that are torturing other right. people.
Yes.
At what point do you have to, like, notify human resources that you've got the science teacher killing people, and the big scary guy pedaling around the cart with
the
body parts.
Yeah. I don't think OSHA or human resources is in, you know, this scenario.
Well, I mean, they have to like decide who's going to be having what role, not like shirts, skins. It's going to be like,
of course they're going to put the lumbering, you know, giant dude pushing around the people in the cart.
Why of course? Why not have the science teacher doing that?
He couldn't push. No. How is that guy going to push a cart full of dead bodies?
How heavy do you think a cart full of dead bodies is?
Well, I weigh 250 pounds.
You can see the floor. It's nice and smooth.
I weigh 250 pounds.
But you've got the science teacher.
He had like four bodies on.
Who looked like he was
there.
Like 100 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah.
With his huge apron on.
That's what I'm saying. How would he be able to push that cart?
Then he was a fumbling idiot, even during the torture scene. Couldn't even manage to get through it correctly.
That's what I'm saying.
So, right, why is science teacher being the torturer?
Why wouldn't the science teacher be pushing the cart?
Right, and the big meathead be the torturer.
Because I weigh 250 pounds. Josh probably weighed 180, and then there's like two or three other dead bodies on the cart with him. There's no way he could push that cart.
The wheels are in very good condition.
Look, there's, what, 4 or 6 feet there, so there's at least three bodies.
Let's say you had one of those wooden trailers that haul shit.
Yeah.
You attach to the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, but you're in a building. You're not going to bring it.
Yeah, but even if you didn't have the pickup truck, you could take the tongue and you could drag it on your own, no matter how much shit was on the trailer.
No. We filled up Jake's trailer. And
there's no way that's going to be too heavy for a small guy to pull.
I think you're mistaken.
I don't think you know how physics works.
That's not physics. Look at that. There's like 6 heads on that body.
Right. You don't need some...
There's 6 heads on that cart.
Big Sasquatch to be like dragging that thing around. It's on wheels.
I think the science teacher would screw up just as much with that as he would torturing.
And you saw that the science teacher slipped on the guts.
Yeah, he's dead now. So,
okay, so maybe not the first job he should have gotten when he applied there.
He didn't apply to be the torturer. He paid. Of course, you don't really learn that in this movie. You learn that.
I think that there's so much that was overlooked.
All right. So anyway, yeah. Paxton ends up getting on this cart and he's being hauled around by this lumbering oaf. He sees Josh all dead and whatnot. He's got his, like, looks like he's been autopsied. Like, he had the Y incision on his chest and he's all stitched back up and he's, you know, dead. So apparently he had his mouth zipped up too.
There would be no reason for them to sew his lips shut. Are they giving him an open casket funeral?
Well, I don't think he's going to get a funeral.
No. Why? So why sew his lips shut?
Well, you wouldn't sew their mouth shut if it was an open casket anyway.
But so what is the purpose of sewing the mouth shut?
The guy was just practicing. The Dutch businessman. He said he wanted to be a doctor. He was just practicing his stitching.
So, hey, I got a pair of lips here. I might as well practice my stitching on them.
Well, he cut his neck open and sewed that back up, too.
There are a lot more serious injuries he could be sewing back together.
He was dead.
Who gives than a pair shit? Of somebody's lips.
Yeah, but the kid was fucking dead. Who gives a shit what he's sewing back up?
He does, apparently.
Well, that's because he's practicing his stuff. He was practicing his technique. Anyway.
Well, he could do like a Franken foot arm or something like that. He didn't have to do, like, take one of the guys and just sew their lips shut.
So
there's no purpose behind that.
How is sewing his foot onto his arm any better than just sewing his lips shut?
You've got more skin. You've got different types of skin. Lips, that's like an easy job.
There's more. I mean, your lips are different than the skin on your arm.
Oh, so he is specifically trying to learn how to sew lip skin as compared to...
He also, like I said, he did his neck.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't have to. It was torture. Who gives a fuck?
You're the one that does. You're arguing with me.
I'm not arguing.
All you gotta do is say, yes, hon. Yes, you have a point.
I'm just saying how is sewing his...
You have to constantly argue everything that I'm saying.
How is sewing his arm... to a foot any better than sewing his lips up?
How is it not?
How is it?
How is it not?
That's what I'm asking you. How is it?
How is it not?
How is it not?
I would think it would take a lot more skill to sew an arm to a leg than it would to sew lips together when they're already right butted up next to each other.
I have no fucking clue. Why does it even matter?
Oh, yeah. Now it's preposterous, the whole idea.
No, I'm not saying it's preposterous, but I'm saying he just, like I said, he cut the guy's neck and he sewed that back up too. But he was already fucking dead, so why sew him up at all? He was already dead.
That's what I said. And you said maybe he was trying to, like, because he'd never done it before.
I don't know. Maybe I did. Whatever. Still doesn't make any fucking sense. So anyway, he runs into this crazy American guy after he Paxton ends up killing the butcher, the guy, big guy pushing the cart. He runs into this crazy American guy who just happens to be the father from Eli Roth's Thanksgiving movie. And he's acting all crazy and spastic. He's, you know, should I stick him or shoot him or should I, you know, do whatever? And Paxton ends up saying, like, you know, just get it done and over with quick. And the guy ends up saying, nah, fuck that. You know, he wants to do it the old-fashioned way, up close and personal. And the crazy American guy cut down to him in his torture room, and he is actually torturing the Asian girl that went missing with Oli. And he's got a blowtorch, and he... This part I don't understand. How would taking a blowtorch to somebody's face make their eyeball pop out and just dangle there?
It would not. Remember that part in Casino when he puts the guy's head in the vise?
Yes.
And he squeezes it? That is like a... Because eventually that kind of pressure has to get let out somewhere.
Yeah.
A blowtorch would not be doing that. There is no way.
Okay. Yeah. That part I didn't understand. I didn't get that. So, does that remind you of Bugs Bunny or a rabbit in general?
I feel like we're supposed to be afraid of him, but also like humored, I guess.
It just reminds me of a rabbit, some kind of animal.
He's annoying as hell. His teeth are like twice as big as the average human's.
They have a captain's tooth? Looks like
they're right all one. Captain's teeth. They're like on, there's something about Mary.
It's a ship full of captains. Oh, where he gets the big face.
The big choppers.
Oh, so, yeah. Anyway, so the crazy American guy is torturing the Asian girl with a blowtorch. Her eyeball is hanging out, and Paxton ends up shooting him and then ends up snipping her eye off in this, like, pus, goopy, nasty, whatever. The Asian and, I'm sorry, I don't know her name, but the Asian girl and Paxton end up running off. They get out of the building that they're in. They're like this giant abandoned warehouse type looking thing. Or not a warehouse, but like a factory. And Paxton ends up running over Alex, Natalia, and Svetlana, then runs into the Bubblegum Gang again, and he bribes them with candy to attack the guards that are following him and the Asian girl. Paxton and the girl make it to the train station. She ends up seeing her face in like the reflection of some kind of sign or whatever, like a train station sign, or what you call, like a marquee, not a marquee, but like a,
I'm fantasizing about how I could whip one of those Bubblegum Gang kids' ass.
maybe one at a time, but
they're small,
but you know,
they might be like,
they would gang up on you.
I think that I could get one of them aside and I could like kick his ass.
Yeah. One at a time. Yes.
But I think, what would I do? I mean, the possibilities are endless.
You just like fucking 300 kick them in the chest.
I'd like to get them like bound up, like like a wild pig, a wild boar.
Yeah.
And then take a big dump on their face.
Okay, that's interesting. that's a new one.
I mean, they're just such rotten little kids. I mean, what kind of bitterness do they have in their hearts?
Like I said, they do end up helping, so... But anyway, so the girl ends up... She sees her face in this sign at the train station and apparently decides that she can't live anymore with the way, you know, not having an eye. So she ends up...
Like, oh, because, yeah, that's, like, unlivable.
You know... I can't see out of my right eye anyway. So she ends up waiting. Yeah,
people whose guts are being slipped over from their torturers, and she's worried about having not the use of one eye.
Well, you know, there's a lot of superficial people out there.
I guess there is.
And so, yeah.
Take one of the eyes from one of those bubblegum little shits.
You know eyes aren't transplantable.
Well, not yet.
So, yeah. And that's just a...
It's just really bad makeup effects.
Yeah, this one's kind of bad.
That's Spirit Halloween shit.
That's like CJ did the same thing to me like 3 or 4 Halloweens ago.
Yeah.
Or, well, it would have been
about 5. You notice the room's all dark. Trying to hide it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how that would happen. But anyway, so, yes, She ends up jumping in front of a train, killing herself. And then Paxton ends up getting on the same train that just ran over the Asian girl, or on a train.
How about with the bubblegum little shit? You find some kind of bubblegum that, like, is poison.
Uh-huh.
And every time they put a piece in their mouth, one of them drops. And eventually they'll drop like flies with foam coming out of their mouth.
But I don't want to torture anybody.
They threaten my life. This is self-defense.
Okay. All right, whatever. We'll go with that if that's the argument you're going to use. Okay. So anyway, yes, Paxton gets on a train, and he ends up seeing the Dutch businessman. Just saying, it
would be a lot better than taking a dump on their mouth, on their face. I'm being more humanitarian now. Okay,
that is a weird level of...
Oh, yeah, and you're right.
You don't even do that to me.
Upstanding American.
No, I don't want you to. So he ends up following the Dutch businessman.
Certain people's faces.
This isn't Sallow. we're not in Italy. It's not Sallow. So he ends up finding the Dutch businessman. He follows him into the bathroom. He drops the business card to the Huntsman Club or whatever the hell it was called.
I like how these monsters of gore and debauchery have business cards. Why in the hell would they have a business card?
Yeah, I guess that doesn't really make sense. Yeah,
and what's with the dog as their logo?
The hound?
Yeah. Dogs are going to be all like, oh, no, no, no. You're not going to use our image as your logo. You guys are sick fucks.
A basset hound, I think that was.
I don't know what it was.
One of the two. There's a big old dog. There's a big old dog. So anyway, yes. So he cuts the businessman's fingers off, and then he gets into the stall with him and ends up cutting his neck, drowning him in the toilet, and then he gets onto the train and rides off into the sunset, and the credits roll. Allie would hate this episode. We were all over the place. Okay, before we get into the gore score and our overall score, we did want to first acknowledge our patrons, Kark, Crook, and Joni. So
we're nothing if not pleasant and responsible.
Yes.
And
yes.
Professional.
We very much appreciate Kark, Crook, and Joni for being our patrons. Yes. We thank you very much. Secondly,
you for your service.
Support.
Your support.
Yeah. Secondly, we would like to put the idea out there that actually our most listened episode, or most listened to episode, was our intimate questions Q&A. So if you have any questions for Nancy and or I, or us.
Make them good.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be truth or dare. This is going to be all truth. Truth or nothing.
Well, I don't know how we do a dare, but yeah. Nah, it's
truth or nothing.
So, yeah. We're pretty open on the show with you, with the listeners. But, yeah, shoot us a DM on Instagram, XHR_podcast. And if you have a question, a burning question that you want answered by her or I or us, yeah, definitely hit us up and let us know what that question is.
Get down and try to dissect Ben's sick brain.
Yeah, my sick brain. Oh, I want to shit on the face. Okay, so now for the gore score and our overall score. So, hon, what do you put this on the gore score? Out of 10, please.
You know, and I know I'm probably going to get some flack from you about this. I'm not feeling the gore because it is so unrealistic. I am so used to like the effects that they use on like the Asian horror movies.
Yeah.
That is just so like top notch.
I do have one pick for our random 20 that is, it's not Asian, but it is Italian, and it's got some pretty good stuff in it.
So. I just think this is like Americanized torture horror. Yeah.
Well, right, it is.
And you can just tell every little bit of latex and every little bit of, you know, corn syrup with red food coloring.
yeah.
The gore score, I would give it a 2.
Only a 2.
Only
okay.
a 2.
All right.
Just because it is so, like I said, it's just so, like, I don't know.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to argue with you. So, and then your overall score.
I feel like I'm being generous with a 4.
4.
Yeah. I think we've seen this maybe twice before.
We've seen it quite a few times, but this was your pick.
Yeah, but now I'm kind of regretting it being my pick.
Okay.
It's just, it's one of those movies where unless you have a purpose to watch it, you're not going to like suggest it.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of me suggesting it was for the show.
Okay, fair enough. All right. See, I do agree with the gore part is that you, I mean, like a lot of what is there, especially like her eye, the Asian girl's eye.
And the snipping off the fingers and all that shit. The fingers, you could tell they looked like I said, they look Spirit Halloween.
Yeah.
Severed fingers.
Well, right. And so I don't know. I'm going to, man, this is a tough one because if you're uninitiated, it's going to be a tougher watch, obviously, because what's there is, you know, pretty, I mean, it's there and it's on the screen. As a seasoned gorehead who's seen a lot worse, man, this is a tough call. This is like Faces of Death level of like, you know, how to judge this one. It's a really simple. Tough judge.
You saw it. What's with the thugs, I mean, with the leather jackets and the...
They're bodyguards.
Hans Christian Andersen hairdos. They spent most of the budget, I'm sure, on those stupid-looking leather jackets that they're wearing.
I'm gonna...
And what did they do throughout the whole movie? They're these big, meaty thugs. Tell me what they did.
I don't know. I'm just trying to give my gore score here. Fuck. Man, I don't know. I'm gonna say it's a 7 if you're uninitiated, and it's about like a 3 if you're a big horror fan.
What do you mean uninitiated?
Like if you were coming into this movie not being a horror fan or not being like not knowing what's happening, and you're gonna take a look at it and you're gonna go,
there's gonna be like Jason, there's gonna be people that are gonna watch it and they're gonna be like, oh, I can't watch this, I can't watch this.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So for them, it would be like a 7 or 8. As a seasoned gorehead, it's maybe a 3 or like a 2, like you said. Overall, it's one of those dumb fun movies. I'm putting this at a 5. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just like it's there.
The only thing good that I can see about this movie is that the rich teenagers backpacking through Europe
got killed.
Get their asses handed to them,
and you want to shit on a kid's face.
That too, but you see, what is his name? Baxter.
Paxton. Yeah.
Same difference. We're supposed to be like happy that he survived. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm not happy. You can go put on your Patagonia winter wear and go on home.
So, all right. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, that's this one. A 2 and a 4 from Nancy, and then a 3 for the goreheads and a 7 for the non-goreheads, and then a 5 overall from me. Okay. I am Ben. She is Nancy. Together, we are XHR. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast. And we do have a link tree in the bio that should take, it will take you to our Patreon, to our TeePublic, and to all the places to listen. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please give us that 5-star rating. We would greatly appreciate it. And I think that's about it. Don't forget to send us a question if you have any for us for your, burning questions or intimate answers. And that is it. So until next time, thank you to our patrons. Be good to one another and stay safe out there. And we will talk to you all next week. So bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.